Hey, it's Josh Cohen from the Orlando Magic, and you're listening to the Penny for Your Thoughts podcast from the guys at Orlando Magic UK. Now it's over to Garrett, Mikey, and Paul. Go Magic!
In order for the Magic to work, you have to truly believe in the Magic.
What's up, Magic fans? Welcome to Orlando Magic UK's weekly podcast, Penny for Your Thoughts. Today is the 7th of July, although this will probably be going out on the 8th. And I'm joined by Mr. Mikey Clark. How are we, sir?
I'm doing well, mate. That was a very enthusiastic opening to the pod tonight.
Always, mate. Always. Love jumping on the podcast with you.
It's been a long 2 weeks, really. I mean, we were going to record an episode last week, weren't we? And then we were basically sitting on it. If you're regular listeners to the show, then you know that we normally record on a Friday, and we were waiting for free agency to sort of get underway before we recorded an episode, and then it just didn't quite work with our schedules. So here we are.
That's it. So we've got a lot to get through today. But before I get into that, mate, I want to know how the father's race went in Lily's sports day.
I wouldn't know. I didn't do it.
I didn't do it. No, I didn't.
I was up against it time-wise. I had to dash out of work to go to sports day and then make a quick dash out as soon as Dad's race was announced.
Yeah. So,
not this year.
Did Beck participate in the mother's race?
She did. She finished second.
Oh, fair play. Fair play.
She finished second. Bless her. Oh,
good stuff. Good stuff. Right. Well, let's have a quick chat about what we're going to look at today. So obviously we're going to talk about free agency and look at what the Magic did and some moves also made in the league. But before we get into that, we're hosting our first ever Orlando Magic UK meetup. That is next Saturday, the 15th of July in Mansfield. So if you do fancy coming to meet us, or just please shoot us a message and we'll let you know all the meetup details. But essentially, it's going to be a few beers. If you want to get some shots up down a local court, we can do that. And it'll be followed by a curry and more beers. And yeah, we just look forward to seeing everyone, don't we, mate?
We certainly do. I was just thinking that it might coincide with Summer League. We hadn't really thought about this, but what's is there any games next Saturday?
Well, they start Saturday. Tomorrow, don't they?
So first game next Saturday starts at 2:30 Eastern time, so 7:30 for us. So
we'll have to have a word with the Curry House to see if they can.
We'll see. We'll see.
Put it on. So yeah, watch this space. Right, so obviously, since we've last recorded, the Magic have made a plethora of moves. So Jet Howard and Anthony Black have been signed to multi-year rookie contracts with the team, and they're currently getting ready to join the Summer League team, who open up tomorrow. Goga Bitadze's team option was picked up and will be returning to the Magic next season. At the same time, Admiral Schofield and Michael Carter-Williams team options were declined, and they leave the Magic roster. Any surprises there, Mikey? Are you happy with those moves?
Yeah, I think so. I think actually Bitadze's deal being announced fairly early was the one that was surprising, and bringing Mo Wagner back a little bit later. But no, I think it was all kind of what we expected. I think it's what we all really hoped. We said, didn't we, that we don't need to push things forward like the Houston Rockets have done and then put yourselves in a corner where if it doesn't work out, you can't get out of it. I mean, yeah, I think the Magic like their continuity. And I think we're all happy with the moves. How about you?
Yeah, absolutely agree. And ultimately, we're still going to have a lot of flexibility for a better crop of free agents next season. Like you mentioned, the Rockets, the Lakers, a lot of those teams have spent a lot of money this offseason, which will probably hamper them in seasons to come. So having that flexibility is obviously key. So let's just run it back with
The only thing I would have liked to see, and I mean, we're going to get into this in a minute, was a better backup center, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
We will, mate. Next, the King, Markelle Fultz's $17 million team option was picked up. to my delight, and I'm sure a lot of others, that's been guaranteed for next season. Markel will be eligible for an extension in October. I don't know why it's October, but it is October. We were kind of expecting it, but it broke that he will be eligible in October. Gary Harris's $13 million team option was also guaranteed, and he'll also be returning for next season. No brainers, these, Mikey.
Yep, and I fully expect Foltz to get an extension, as he should. And Gary Harris, I mean, we know we're short of three-point shooting, a veteran presence. He ticks both of those boxes. I mean, he was part of one of our better starting lineups and one of our better rotations last year. So as long as we can see him play a little bit more this year, then, yeah, an absolute no-brainer. And being an expiring contract, he's going to be a valuable trade piece towards the deadline as well in February.
He will. And I'm sure, you know, in the coming weeks this summer, we're going to get into rotations and whatnot, but it's good to have those guys back. So then free agency opened on the 30th of June, which was last week. We had some notable transactions to tell you all about. So obviously starting with the Magic, we decided to sign free agent Joe Ingles, formerly of the Milwaukee Bucks and Utah Jazz, to a two-year deal worth $11 million per season. The second year, I believe, is a team option. Ingles averaged 6.9 points, 2.8 rebounds, and 3.3 assists last season, and brings a wealth of experience and know-how on the basketball court. So your thoughts on that one, mate?
A plus, mate, for me. I was a massive... We were talking about this when the news started coming through. What was it? Was it several hours or maybe the day before that the Magic were looking to make a deal with Joe Ingles? I mean, forget about the money. It's a two-year deal, $11 million per year. At this point, the Magic are really playing with fun money because we had all this cap space. We had to spend some of it because of the new CBA, and you have to be...
90%.
You have to be paying over 90% of the salary cap towards the roster. So the Magic had to spend the money this offseason. But the fact that, again, we've talked about future flexibility, the second year is a team option. They can move on next year if they decide to. But forget about the numbers, forget about the money. Joe Ingles is a really, really good three-point shooter, ticks that box, veteran presence. He's played on some really, really good teams in Utah. He played with the Bucks last year. I don't expect him to have a huge role. I mean, he may become part of the regular rotation off the bench, possibly, but I think there's going to be stretches where we're not even going to see Ingles play, which is what we want. We want to see the younger players pushing these players out of the way for minutes. I think more than anything, it's going to be off the court stuff in practice. Joe Ingles is really going to be a massive help towards these young players. And I think players like Franz and Paolo are definitely going to learn a lot from Joe Ingles. For me, mate, perfect signing. Was cost effective. It was within the salary cap. They've got future flexibility. They've increased their shooting. We've got another veteran on the team. Perfect signing for me.
Yeah. And just to add to that, when it was sort of breaking that we were signing it, Mikey sent me a video on YouTube. It was about 8 minutes of Joe Ingles just being an absolute pest and an annoyance to all these, you know, other star players. I think Paul George got it quite a bit in that video reel that you found from YouTube. And I like that. I
sent you that.
Yeah, it's Mo Wagner-esque, isn't it? Getting under their skin, but not reacting to things, just almost putting his hands up and, you know, walking away, but really getting under their skin. And I like that when they play for us. If they don't play for us, then, you know, it's that
you
Robbie
hated
Savage.
Him.
I didn't like him.
No, you hated him. Don't give me the don't like. You hated Joe Ingles. He was on your list of one of those, what, top five players in the league that you hated?
Top 10.
Teams.
He was top 10, yeah. Just because of purely because of that.
Yeah.
Just annoying. So,
but he's the sort of player that you want on your team, for sure.
Yeah, Robbie Savage. For our English listeners who will understand that one. Obviously, he did wear number 2, mate. We've got Caleb Houston wearing number 2 now. Do you see Caleb giving up his number?
I don't know. Do you think Joe Ingles really cares that much about wearing number 2?
I don't know. Probably not. Well, remain to be seen. But and then lastly, on the Ingles signing, obviously 11 million against your team's salary. It's a decent asset to have at the trade deadline, isn't it?
Exactly right.
Somebody else wants to come 11 million off. It's a team option.
Let's say it could be included in February
for a disgruntled star if one becomes available.
Let's say in February something does become available, then you could package Joe Ingles, Gary Harris, two vets, 23 million of contracts, maybe a young player or a future draft pick of some kind. I mean, the Magic are stacked with... We've got everything on this roster that you could possibly need to make a big deal. I mean, you look at Jonathan Isaac's contract to 17.4. It's partially guaranteed until January. Markel Fultz at 17, Wendell at 13, Gary Harris at 13. Like, they've got the right mix of veterans, young players, future picks, cap space. It's all right. It's all good. We're in a very, very good place.
Absolutely, mate. So secondly, the Magic announced that free agent guard Mo Wagner is returning on a 2-year, $16 million deal, according to his agent Jason Glushen. Wagner, obviously, he'd be part of the center rotation with Bitadze and Wendell Carter Jr. Averaged 10.5 points and 4.5 rebounds last year. I mean, again, it's another workable contract. But are you happy? Well, no, let's reel this back. It took a while, didn't it, for this to come out? So you're thinking, are Magic Brass trying to get an upgrade, like you mentioned at the top of the show, you know, a Mason Plumlee, a Dwight Powell, or a Thomas Bryant? So are you happy with the signing and that timeline kind of instigates that they were trying something else? Do you agree?
If you think about the Bol Bol situation, where his date was moved back, where the Magic could waive him with his deal non-guaranteed, you had that happen first. You've then got another potential roster spot to fill, and you're thinking, right, the Magic could go after Mason Plumlee, Dwight Powell, Thomas Bryant, Paul Reed was still on the free agent market. We were obviously having a lot of fun with the Brook Lopez. I wouldn't even call it links. It was just what we wanted as fans. We wanted Brook Lopez in Orlando just because, again, he would fill another big role for this team. But it didn't happen. Mo was coming back. We all said before free agency started, and probably before the draft, I think, that if you had a choice between Bitadze or Mo Wagner, we'd all lean towards Mo for several reasons. One, because he's an irritant. Two, because he's got his brother playing on the team and you want to keep him happy. And three, he's really likeable. But let's be honest, there was times where Bitadze actually outplayed Mo Wagner during the last phase of the season. So, yeah, I'm not surprised they're both back. I think it just... There's just some questions there that, again, if Wendell misses a chunk of playing time this year, then you're relying on two, let's call it third string centres, to be your backup. Which, if Jonathan Isaac's healthy, that changes things a little bit, because you can see him play some spots at the five, and you've got that shot blocking ability that JI brings. But I don't think any of us are leaning on that expectation at this point. So, again, the Magic needed to spend some money. They've done it. They've rewarded Mo Wagner. Bit of loyalty, which this front office continues to show to players and free agents. And I'm not quite sure. I don't think it's been announced whether that second year is guaranteed or as a team option. I'm not quite sure at this moment, but... Yeah, I think all in all, we're happy, aren't we? It would have been nice to maybe had a more established backup centre if Wendell misses some time, but What do we know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely, mate. But you almost think this year now they've addressed the shoot. Hopefully they've addressed the shooting issues. They've brought in Ingles, you know. They've signed, what's he called? Howard, Chet Howard. So you've got a bit of shooting there now. We did want a backup center. So were we being too greedy, asking for it all at once? The free agent class for next season for the centers, I don't have it in front of me, but I know they talked about this on the Six Man Show, and it's a lot better next season. So it's almost like the team's given the players a chance to develop and again in next season. We're not going to win the championship next season. We know that. It's about growing, isn't it? So, and being in the right space in terms of the money spent, cap space, etc. And, you know, the Magic, just say the Magic, you know, go 41-41 or win 45 games next season. It's going to be a lot more of an attractive place for these backup centers. Mason Plumlee obviously got $5 million. I'm sure, you know, rumors are that he got offered more money elsewhere. We have a good season next season. He's also a free agent because he's just signed a 1-year deal. Yeah. Amongst a lot of others. So slowly, we'll get there. But, you know, it's an opportunity for Bitadze and for Mo. So Bitadze could make a name for himself. You don't know, do you?
No, absolutely. And it's going to be a really interesting year because, yeah, the development is the important thing. But we're kind of in between that and being really focused on winning games. And we talk about the development side of it. I mean, there's going to be players on this roster that aren't going to be playing games that maybe deserve to. They're going to miss stretches of games this year because somebody else has helped playing them. Because the roster is that deep with talent, and you've got a couple of good vets in there now that are going to push the young players on. And we talked about the three-point shooting. And you mentioned a few players there. But at the end of the day, this team goes as far as the young players develop. So if Paolo can improve his three, if Franz can improve his three, I think Jalen Suggs shown us towards the end of last season, he had, what was it? I can't what the stat was now, but he was about 37% from three on about 75 attempts towards the end of the season. There's a really good breakdown on Jalen Suggs that Josh Cohen's done on his YouTube channel. And he talks about Jalen Suggs' potential rise. I think for me at this stage, I want to see Jalen Suggs outplay Gary Harris for that starting two position. I think if he does that, I think his three-point shot is going to come along, and that's going to transform that starting unit as well, because Suggs is elite defensively. And if you can bring Suggs off the bench, if you can start Suggs, bring Gary Harris off the bench as a vet with Anthony Black and Cole, then there's a nice little balance there. I think we've all got a similar depth chart on how we think this is going to play out, but versatility, isn't it? That's what this is all about. There's so many different potential lineups and rotations that we can put out this season. If we think about last year, forget the first 25 games. This is a 500 team, which based off of last year, you're a playing team at very minimum, aren't you? So you've had it. You've got better. You've got two more talented players in the draft. You brought in Joe Ingles. You've kept everything else together. As long as everybody stays healthy, or for the majority of the time, there's no reason why we shouldn't at least be a 500 team next year. No. We'll see.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And then, yeah, positionless basketball, it seems to be the future, isn't it? But yeah, just one point you just mentioned there, obviously Bol Bol waived after the deadline for the, you know, extension for next season. Were you surprised at that? I won't lie, I was quite surprised at that. I thought $2 million for Bol Bol, you know, coming off the bench, but obviously shows you, you know, they're very, you know, they think we've got a lot of talent.
Well, as soon as that Mo Wagner deal was done, it was hard to see Bol coming back. I think the surprising thing more than Bol being cut was how early they made that decision, because they could have done this in October. They could have gone to training camp and cut him just before the season, but perhaps they see that maybe there's an opportunity on another team where they think he can go and get more playing time and he can develop his game somewhere else. Maybe he comes back as a two-way player.
Well, I'd like that.
I'd be surprised. I think there's going to be somewhere on a roster in the NBA that Bol's going to get an opportunity, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Magic say, look, we want to keep you within the system. We want you to come back. We talked about this the other night, G, about, let's say we get a load of injuries. You bring Bol Bol up from the G League. You've got no problem playing Bol Bol for a few minutes here and there because we've already seen what he's capable of doing. We'll see. I like Bol. I think we all really like Bol. He seems like a really, really decent bloke. He just needs playing time. And to be honest, he's just got squeezed out of this roster. And I think it was really hit between him and Chuma. But it doesn't really make sense cutting Chuma unless there's a trade on the table to make room for Bol. So it is what it is. But we're talking about players at the end of the roster now that, let's be honest, don't have that much impact. And Bol certainly didn't have a huge amount of impact on wins last year. We were better with him out of the rotation. So, yeah, hopefully gets a better opportunity somewhere else.
So, obviously, amongst all that Magic free agency, there was a lot of activity throughout the NBA. I've just picked up on a few deals here, so I'll just reel them off and I'll just try and get Mikey's opinion then at the end. So, Fred Van Fleet signed a 3-year, $128.5 million contract. Oh my God, with the Houston Rockets. So essentially, that's over $42 million per season. I think the last year is a team option. The Rockets then went and signed Dylan Brooks, previously with the Memphis Grizzlies, to a 4-year, $80 million contract. Jeremy Grant got paid 5 years, $160 million contract with the Portland Trail Blazers. And then, spoiler alert, Dame said that he wanted out straight after. Was it the day after? So that's still ongoing. Kyrie Irving signed a 3-year, $126 million contract with the Dallas Mavericks, which averages out about $42 million per season. Kyle Kuzma signed a 4-year, $102 million contract with the Washington Wizards, who seems to be, looking at what people are saying, right at the bottom of the league for the predictions next season. Obviously, good to see Kyle down there at the bottom. And then lastly, Max Strus, formerly of the Miami Heat, agreed a 4-year, $63 million. And this was a sign and trade to join the Cleveland Cavaliers. So, Mikey, any of these moves that raise an eyebrow to you? Some overpays? Maybe?
All of them. All of them. I mean, Fred Van Fleet is a player. We talked about him throughout the season with various links with the Magic in free agency. I think Fred would help this team, but I don't think we ever really thought that was a viable option and didn't make a huge amount of sense knowing he was going to get paid. I mean, $42 million a season for a player that what shot 38-39% field goal percentage last year. Then you add Dylan Brooks, who Dylan Brooks is a very, very, very good defender. And you could put him in that category with Joe Ingles and Mo Wagner. He's just a pest and he's just an irritant. But he's just really unlikable.
He is.
I mean, the Rockets have gone all in. I mean, look, if these deals tell us anything, you can complain. I mean, I mean, we all went on Twitter during free agency. We saw the minority of casual fans who didn't get the Joe Ingles signing for 10, 11 million a year. If you don't understand that, then look at these salaries and just think to yourself, what would you have done if the Magic had gone and signed Fred Van Fleet for 42 million a year? Like, you've lost all your flexibility then. Jeremy Grant at 160
Grant, I just want a quick question on the Rockets. Do you think these signings are going to stunt the growth of their young players? They've obviously got a lot of young players who need the ball in their hand. Jalen Green, they've obviously got Amen Thompson, Jabari Smith. So some of these are going to be taking a backseat now to Dylan Brooks and Fred VanVleet, who are going to command the ball. Do you know what I mean?
I don't think it will necessarily stunt their development.
But it's going to impact them, because they're not going to have the exposure to late game situations where they've got the ball, much like the Magic do now, in that we're giving the ball to Markel, Jalen, to Paolo, to Franz. These guys are going to be deferring to VanVleet and Brooks and, you know, whomever else.
I think they've just pushed all their chips into the table, really, haven't they?
Well, they had to, didn't they?
Did they, though?
Yeah, they had to get to that 90%.
They did, I suppose. But surely there's other options on the table than giving Fred VanVleet $42 million a season. I mean, I think the Rockets will be better. I mean, you have to be if you're going to sign two good... Because they're good players. Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks are good players. But, I mean, what's the term I heard a few people say? They've Hennigan'd all over themselves or something about like that. Like, you think about when we have Vooch and you sign Bismack Biyombo, and you think of that Serge Ibaka trade and all those moves, and Jeff Green for $15 million a year, which all those moves just short-sighted moves, just trying to move the needle too quickly.
Yeah.
And I think if you look at us, I think if you look at OKC, I think if you look at Detroit, you're adding more talent, you're letting the players develop at their pace, essentially.
Organically, yeah.
Organically, that's one way of putting it. Whereas, the Rockets have just gone, right, we have to win more games this year. Let's bring in two players that are going to try and pull these young players out. I mean, to be honest, you could disagree with me. Jalen Green should be the best team on the Houston Rockets. Should be the best player on the Houston Rockets.
Should be, yeah.
He's
not going to get the ball as much now, though. That's my concern for the Rockets.
I don't know, because I think Brooks and VanVleet, I mean, they're two players that can play off the ball. But I know what you're saying. They're taking that little bit of responsibility away from Jalen Green, who actually should probably be given more, because the Rockets are going to go as far as Jalen Green takes them. It's no difference with us. Like, we're going to go as far as Paolo takes us and Franz takes us. They're our key two pieces. It's going to be interesting. We'll see. But I think, again, going back to what we've done, we've gone, there's nothing really clear that's going to make us better. Sorry, there's nothing there in free agency or in the trade market that's going to make sense now for us to be better in the short term, be better in the long term. So they've gone, fine, we'll just push it on 12 months and see where we are at the deadline. We'll see where we are at this point next season. And something will happen, but we don't need to force these things, which is exactly what the Rockets have done.
Yeah. So Jeremy Grant, obviously, you just starting, you were getting going there, mate. And the Lillard situation.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see that panning out now?
Please don't let go to the Miami Heat of all the teams he could
anyone
go to.
Anyone but, isn't it?
I mean, it doesn't look great. I mean, they knew they had to sign Jeremy Grant to have a chance of saying to Dame, look, we want you to stay. And Dame's turned around and gone, well, okay, I'm leaving anyway. I want to go out. I want to go elsewhere. We'll see. We'll see what happens with that situation. Because there's no rush for Portland to actually make a deal. He's under contract for another, 3 years? So,
well, that's what he chose. He chose money over flexibility in deciding where he wanted to play. And all of a sudden now, he's thought, okay, Portland aren't putting the players around me. And they're probably not. But for the Blazer franchise, drafting Scoot Henderson is probably the best move in the long-term future of the Portland Trail Blazers. It gives them somebody to build around. How often do you get the third overall pick and pick probably a top 2/3 talent from the draft class? So, I mean, it is what it is. But like you say,
what do you think's going to be the best return for him?
It sounds like they're going to be squeezed to take this Miami offer, which I hate. Who is it?
I don't see why they shouldn't.
I know. I'd make an example of him. I'd sit him down, fine him until, you know, it's got to be the best thing for the Portland Trailblazers. He signed the deal with them. So it's on them to decide how to face it. It's like the situation we had with Dwight Howard, really, isn't it? Back in 2011, the Dwight mayor and all that. And it wasn't nice. But the difference here, I think, is the Portland Trailblazers aren't in the running to win the Western Conference when the Magic were, you know, in that top four sort of conversation. Why does Dwight want to move? And obviously, bright lights weren't so bright, were they, mate?
The only difference is Dame's got longer on his deal. That's the real difference here.
There's that, yeah.
I mean, for me, if I'm Portland, I'm trying to get Tyrese Maxey. We spoke about this the other night. Go and get Tyrese Maxey as part of a deal. Send him to Philly. And then you're essentially restarting. You're rebuilding with Scoot Henderson, Tyrese Maxey, Shaedon Sharpe as your front court. You've got Yusuf Nurkic. You've just signed Jeremy Grant. You've got two good veteran players to surround the younger players with. That's
Anthony
a pretty
Simons.
Good place. Anthony Simons as well. That's a pretty good place to start for trading your best player. And you might get some draft picks or other compensation out of it, but yeah, if Portland shouldn't be in a rush to just go and take whatever Miami think they can offer him, because I'm sorry, Tyler Hero is not going to do it.
Oh my god.
What about you? Is there any of the others that you're a bit surprised with, or
no? I think Kyrie Irving was kind of pushed into, you know, it's Dallas or bust, really, wasn't it? And then I mean, Washington, having made that Kristaps Porzingis trade, they've almost shipping Bradley Beal out. They've almost waved the white flag already. So signing a guy like Kuzma, who can get you, you know, 20, I can't remember what his stats are, but he's a decent player who can fill it up if he wants to. They're obviously restarting again, so it'd be nice to get four W's against the Wizards next season. With some ease, hopefully. Max Strus going to the Cavaliers. Glad to see him leave Miami. As I was glad to see, was it Gabe Vincent leave to go to
the other team? Lakers. Like.
Yeah. So, you know, that finals team.
The Lakers have won free agency, haven't they? I think they've already won the title for next season.
Oh, they lost Mo Bamba, the next Shaquille O'Neal. Oh, it's so funny watching ESPN.
Go on.
Put all that out there, you know. Oh, the last two centers the Lakers got from the Magic with Dwight Howard and Shaquille O'Neal, and they brought them a championship, and then Mo Bamba goes there. Literally doesn't play a minute in the playoffs, and he's gone to Philadelphia now to play with his buddy Joel Embiid. So good luck to Mo. I quite liked Mo, but not when he was wearing yellow. So all in all, mate, we've kept our flexibility. These teams have, you know, just blown their load on all these players, haven't they? So let's wait till next season when there's a better crop of free agents.
I think there's too much emphasis. Like, I know we talk about it because it's fun to talk about, but like, everybody seems so keen on bringing in the next shiny young piece, the next big superstar. I mean, Luka Doncic's name's come up in stuff that we've talked about before. Like, right now, would you want Luka Doncic playing next to Paolo in France?
I'm quite happy with what we got, but I'd like, you know, he's a star player.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to get at is Paolo in France, their strength is when they've got the ball in their hands. If you bring in somebody like Luka Doncic, you're then a bit like Houston are doing, but on a bigger scale, you're taking that responsibility away from two players you want to elevate your franchise. I mean, that's just one example. Well, of course, I'd love Luka Doncic. You'd be mad if you wouldn't. But like, we keep thinking, all right, what can we get at the trade deadline? What can we get next summer? What can we get the year after that? Who's going to be available? I don't care about all that. I want to see how far Paolo and Franz take us this season, because, like, I don't know if you saw today, there was, like, quotes that Gary Harris, I think, was on a podcast or something. He was talking about how good Markel looks in the off season and how much work he's put in. We joke about Markel possibly being the odd man out in 4 years' time, and you draft Anthony Black. No, but we're joking about it. Like, just to throw you a line so you can bite occasionally. But this team is better with Markel Fultz on the floor. That's period. Well, let's see how far this group can take us next season, because this group is better than last year. And if they're healthy, then watch out, because there was a lot of talk about, like, last year was the first year for quite some time that a lot of media was starting to wake up and see what we're starting to build. And we've just strengthened that foundation again this summer. So let's not just calm down on, like, the free agents and who's available, because to me, we've got what we need on this roster. You're just fine-tuning those pieces around it to make your team better and better. And look, we've done that. Let's see how far they can go, and maybe they'll push on. Maybe we can be a straight playoff team next year. We'll see, but...
Yeah, no. So, moving on from free agency then to a bit of news that broke... I can't remember if it was just before it. Paolo Banchero, fresh from his trip to Italy, has chosen to play for Team USA at the FIBA World Cup in the Philippines this summer. I think there's much to say about this, is there, to be honest with you? USA was his birth country. So, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'd play for Wales. You'd play for England. It is what it is, isn't it?
It is.
So, right. Other Magic news, especially specifically the front office. So Dylan Murphy has been named Osceola Magic head coach, having been an assistant on the Magic and been on the bench the last few years. Now, if you watch the Magic often and tune into the Bally Sports broadcast, you know, David and Jeff always make a point when it comes to the coaches' challenges, we're going to Dylan Murphy. And Dylan's there with his, he must have a laptop or a tablet or something, mustn't he? Just to do the challenges. And in fairness, he was very good at it. So good opportunity for Dylan, but disappointed, or how do you think?
I just think it's the evolution of coaches in the NBA, isn't it? They reach a certain level and they push on. They want to develop their own profession. I just think it's great to see, because again, you can look at the players and say, oh, well, this player's developing. Well, the coaches are doing the same thing. If the coaches are getting better, then that's going to help the players as well. Yeah, it's a shame, but I think Coach Mosley's already got a solid enough coaching staff around him that everybody's very confident in. And Dylan's still going to be part of the Magic. I mean, he's going to have an important role for Osceola, because there might be a couple of players there that, well, there's going to be two or three players on a two-way contract that he's going to have an influence in, and making that transition from the G League to the NBA that little bit smoother, because he's been there, he knows what it's like, he's been in around Coach Mosley, he knows the system. Then I think it's a good thing for him, for sure.
So next, just to talk about John Hammond, Anthony Parker. So the Magic are promoting Anthony Parker to general manager, replacing longtime league executive John Hammond, who's decided to take a more senior advisory role. So it's good that John's still going to be around. So essentially, Parker's going to be working with Jeff Weltman, who's obviously the president of basketball operations, running the Magic's front office. Parker's done it all, to be honest, mate. You know, he's been an assistant GM at Lakeland. He was a player, first of all, a Magic scout. And now he comes full circle and becomes general manager. I mean, for me, I'm happy Hammond staying within the organisation. And Parker, from what I gather, is, you know, highly sought after around the league. So promoting from within, again, like we mentioned with Dylan Murphy, and locking him up. Happy with that?
Yeah, absolutely, mate. I mean, Parker's been in this role. He's been working with Jeff Weltman and John Hammond. I think they've had this vision for him to be stepping up to this role for a few years now, and they've been that there's been steps to that process. Obviously, like you said, he's gone through from player to scout to working for the G League team, and now he's up to the general manager. I think, yeah, I think it's just another positive role. I mean, we hear Jeff Weltman talk a lot about this business is all about relationships and relationship building. And I think Parker's got a lot of people around the NBA that respect him. And I think, yeah, it's a really good move for Anthony Parker. John Hammond's been at it for a long, long time. We can go back to creating dinosaurs again now. like you said, I think it's good that John's still going to be around. I think he's still going to be fairly heavily involved. And Jeff's going to obviously lean on him. They've been friends and been working together for a long, long time. John Hammond's got a lot of respect from Jeff Weltman. And yeah, I think them as a group are all going to come together and help continue building what we're doing in Orlando, because we're all starting to see the work that they've put in now.
Yeah. So finally then, for today, the Summer League is starting on the 7th of July until the 17th, in Las Vegas. So I'm not going to get into the games because we don't know what we're going to see. So let's just quickly talk about the Magic roster. So we're obviously going to see Anthony Black, Jet Howard, Caleb Houston feature as part, you know, featured from the big league Magic team. Other notable names, obviously, Kevon Harris, who plays now for the Osceola Magic for the two-way contract. But we've got two others that I just wanted to pick up on, mate. DJ Wilson, obviously, he was a first-round draft pick. I think he's got a ring as well from his time with the Milwaukee Bucks. Mm-hmm. That's it. And then Kai Sotto, I thought. Apologies if I butchered his name, who's a 7'3" undrafted prospect from the Philippines. Thoughts of, you know, other than the ones we're expecting to see, can any of these two make any noise to, you know, turn the heads of the powers that be to maybe get a two-way contract, you think?
I think DJ Wilson certainly can. I think DJ Wilson is another Michigan guy. Which obviously we like. I think the Summer League's going to be interesting for us, because I think years gone by, like last year, I think we drafted Paolo. Paolo plays a couple of games and that's the end of Summer League, and then the interest drops away. Whereas this year, obviously, we've got the two rookies in Anthony Black and Jet Howard that we're looking forward to watching them suit up for Summer League and watch them play. Like I said, you've got Kevon Harris, who's got the first two-way contract. To be honest, I want to sort of dive into a lot of the games, not just what the Magic are doing, because look, there's going to be players on all these rosters that are all fighting for spots, whether they're on the Magic roster now in Summer League, or whether they're on the Detroit Pistons or the Pacers, who are going to be playing in the first couple of games. There's obviously some holes in this roster, or some needs that the Magic still need to fill. Shot blocking is obviously one of them. I think that's why everybody's so drawn to Kai Sotto. Big player, big man. Wingspan, shot blocking. I've not really seen much of his game, if I'm honest, which is why I'm interested to see what he can do. DJ Wilson, though, he's pretty athletic, sort of forward, small, big.
6'10". I've just pulling up his stats here. 6'10". Yeah. Obviously played, was it, six seasons in the NBA, with career averages of 4.4 points and 2.5 rebounds, shooting 42% from the field, 32% from three. So, yeah, you know, see what he can do, isn't it?
How about you? Is there anybody you're looking forward to seeing?
No, you just mentioned it's obviously the main Magic guys. Obviously, we haven't seen, you know, Black or Jet yet. So it'd be nice to see them put some numbers up. But from the rest of the roster, you know what you're getting with Kevon Harris. It's obviously seeing if DJ Wilson and Soto can do something. Because I think there's only two centers on that Magic roster for the Summer League, and Soto being one of them. So, 7'3", he fits the Magic bill right away, doesn't he? So, the Magic open up tomorrow, and the games run through all next week. And we'll see if we can get the game up on in the Curry House, should we, mate?
It'd be nice, wouldn't it?
It would be nice.
Or we'll all be on there on phones. Being unsociable.
That's it. So I think that's going to do it, mate. Other than the plugs and the anything else you want to?
I think that's covered it all. I'm not. I'm going to be honest. I'm not a huge Summer League guy. I don't know how you feel about it. I think even more so now that the main roster is becoming so, we're getting so excited about what this season's going to look like. I kind of like Summer League, check that off the box, right? Let's get into the pre-season and get going for me.
Training camp.
We're really looking at those players that could, like I said, maybe pick up a two-way spot. I don't know. I'm just looking forward to seeing Anthony Black and Jet Howard play a couple of games. To be honest, once they're done, I probably won't pay a huge amount of attention. But I think it's also, we haven't really talked about Caleb Houston. I mean, he's another player who's probably going to struggle for playing time this season. So Summer League's going to be a really important part of his season, in his pre-season, his off-season, for him to get some reps and familiarise himself with what the Magic are trying to build. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, no, I'm agreement with you there, mate. It's just about seeing the first round rookies, isn't it? Just to get a feel for their game against, you know, people who are on the cusp of the NBA as opposed to just the college players. Mm-hmm. Seeing what they can do, like last year, you know, watching Paolo, and then was it one or two games he played? I can't even remember. Then it was almost like, you know, all right, shut it down now. Just make sure, you know, he comes through unscathed and like Mikey Chet. Who does look good? Have you seen highlights of Chet?
I haven't.
Haven't. He's looking impressive.
Yeah.
So yeah. Check that out. So
he's been eating sandwiches. He's put on a bit of weight, hasn't he?
Eating magnums like you, mate.
Hey, that's what you got to do.
Absolutely. Please support today's episode. Visit Fanatics UK for our affiliate, which are. Could be found in our affiliate link in the description. You can get the best sports jerseys, merchandise, fan apparel, including the NBA, MLB, and also Premier League jerseys. I know Mikey's probably eyeing up that Liverpool shirt for next season. Use our discount code MAGICUK10 at the checkout for 10% off your entire order. But please note, other discount codes are available and they might be a little bit better than our one. And also, if you want to help us out, we've got our own store, magicfansapparel.tmall.com. Some for Orlando Magic UK merchandise to help support the show. This includes international shipping too for our friends overseas. So as always, thank you for listening, watching, your comments and everything. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, Orlando Magic UK. Like us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And what's the new one you set up yesterday, Mikey?
It's called Threads, which is the new Instagram account that's going to... Instagram app that is supposedly going to rival Twitter because a certain Elon Musk is... annoying a few people, I believe, but if you want to follow us on there, we haven't posted anything yet, but we will. So follow us on the as you do on all our socials.
We've got our tag, yeah. So it's at Orlando Magic UK. So until next week, from Mikey and myself, go Magic!